Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, March 4th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, happy Monday.
And also a happy Monday to my other guest, Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
I'm loving Brian's Monday enthusiasm.
How about right? Rachel? How about had her friend's deep cut?
Okay.
That's what that was.
I love it. All right. So, Charlotte, I would like to start with you.
Ooh.
Ladies first. No. Well, you've written a piece about Apple and International Women's Day.
Right. Well, I've written a couple of pieces about it. The first one I wrote Friday, because on Thursday, Apple announced a whole host of really quite cool events that it's going to be doing for International Women's Day, which is on the 4th of March. But they decided they're going to celebrate throughout the whole month, which is kind of cool. They're doing a whole load of today at Apple events led by women, some exclusive events. They're promoting female artists on things like the App Store and iTunes. All really good stuff. But then, as I'm accustomed to, I read the whole kind of press release from Apple, and it was a slightly odd comment. It basically said women had earned the right for equality, which kind of struck me as somewhat odd, given that surely equality is a human right, is a kind of, one doesn't earn it is there by definition.
Yes.
And so it struck me as rather odd.
I read that too and went, yeah.
Right. And now the man's going to tell us why we're wrong. Go, Brian.
Exactly. I'm going to mansplain it to you. In practice, equality is not there.
Right.
So,
but that doesn't mean we should have to earn it.
It's not there for it to be earned.
It should just be recognized. I feel like that would have been the better word.
Yeah. The quote, I'll read you the, to be fair, let's read the whole quote.
Yes.
It's from Apple Vice President of Environment Policy and Social Initiatives, Lisa Jackson, who said, "Women have earned the opportunity to have our ideas shape the future."
Well, you said right before. Earned the opportunity. I get the
But equal opportunity is a human for and gender equality is a human right.
Well, says you a lot of
no,
people.
No, I mean
a lot of people kind of, don't say that though.
No, but
which is why we have that app in Saudi Arabia that people are trying to take out of the app store.
Yeah. for one thing, yeah.
That's correct, but this is a U.S. company talking in the U.S. about a bunch of... and
There's not equality here. There's not equality of opportunity.
That's true. No, and, but I mean, it's not something that has to be earned. It should be something that is fixed. Women don't have to earn the right to have equality of opportunity.
I'm going to have to wrestle with that.
Okay.
So, I mean,
it struck me, and it's interesting, it also struck Kelly as a really odd way of phrasing it.
Yeah, and I recognize that, you know, I'm the dude.
But also, it's particularly weird, and I put this in my piece, because Apple does get this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Like, Apple is really good at this stuff. It has Entrepreneurs Camp, which is a really cool initiative that supports female entrepreneurs and female-led development and apps. It's doing some really cool events, like I said, throughout March.
Mm-hmm.
It gets this stuff. We've heard Tim Cook. That's not a corporate PR line. Tim Cook, as the leader of this massive organization, instinctively, for personal and professional reasons, gets this. It's a really weird comment. I really don't get how it got through what one must imagine is a hugely extensive sign-off process within Apple.
I'm wrestling.
I know.
I'm wrestling
women I've showed this comment to have all gone, ooh.
I felt like it was the right sentiment and the wrong choice of words.
Right, exactly.
I think that's exactly what gets me about it, which, Brian, should appeal to your inner pedantic streak.
Yeah, no, I get that too. I mean, this is a semantics issue, but words do matter.
Exactly. I absolutely do.
And I feel like I'm seeing it from the standpoint of the fact that the equality isn't there, and you are both seeing it from the standpoint that it should be there, and the fact that it's not is the issue. And I'm saying that we're not there yet, but we should get there. And I also get the idea that, I'm going to have to digest and pay attention to what it is that y'all are both saying and figure out what it is that I don't get.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, is the opposite of mansplaining.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Thank you, Brian. Doing it right.
Well played, Brian. But it struck me as particularly, I think it stood out because Apple normally so instinctively gets this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, as Kelly said, though, it's the right sentiment.
Oh, it's absolutely the right sentiment. I write in my piece.
It's the words that are. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I say in my piece, it's a legitimate error. It's not coming from a place of malice. It's not coming from a place of, a disregard for equality.
And it's one quote in a piece about, look at all of the things that Apple is doing to celebrate Women's History Month, which is March, which is when International Women's Day falls, which is part of why, I think to me, that's part of why this stood out, because I'm like, what? Because
exactly,
there is certainly like a burden of proof. Like the phrase when you were first describing this, Charlotte, you said earn the right, and then when you read it, it turned the opportunity. And there's an aspect of having earned the opportunity that says that the burden of proof is on women all along.
Exactly, which I don't really like.
That in fact is weird, and I definitely get that.
Yeah, and I would also regard equality of opportunity to the genders as a human right.
Yeah. My hang-up was earned.
Something to be earned.
Yeah, my hang-up was earned. Like, because exactly. It was not something that I should have had access to until it had been earned. That's what earning implies, is like, at last.
100%.
Yeah, and that's the reason for me it rang oddly.
That's exactly
that piece of it. Not even opportunity or right. Like, yeah, there's an opportunity, and what you do with it is up to you, whoever you are. And so for me, it wasn't opportunity that was the catch. It was earned. I'm like, what do you mean earned? Like,
exactly.
You know, yeah. So that was, for me, that was the hang up with it. But overall, like, I thought the announcement was very cool, and it was great to see that they had some interesting people doing some stuff. All across the country in all different ways with Today at Apple and a variety of other initiatives that they have out there and the opportunities that they're making available. So
yeah, it's good. There's going to be stuff all around the world. I'm going to be reporting for us later in the week from an event they're hosting in London, which will be really cool to go along to. But you're absolutely right, Kelly. The point is that why should the opportunity have to be earned by women? Was it earned by men? And it really made in the context of all the excellent stuff that Apple is doing, it really clanged, in my opinion.
Yeah, so Brian, that was my hang up with it, and listening to you guys discuss it helped me clarify that, to be able to because it was earned that was the word that hung me up. So I don't know if that helps, but
I didn't write this, and I'd like to get your two opinion on this. Is it worse that it was the quote was attributed to a female exec? Did that make it clang a bit more? I couldn't quite decide for myself.
You should explain your use of clang to American ears.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, I know what the verb means, but you're
like, it just kind of stood out. It was odd. It was
It underlined its oddity to me when I was reading it.
Is it the implied tokenism?
No, because it's an appropriate person to be commenting on International Women's Day events for Apple. It was just, it seemed funny that a very senior female executive would allow a comment like that to be attributed to them.
Well, there's probably a reason for that, from this, starting with that thing that Kelly noted, which was the sentiment was right. So they clearly were not seeing this choice of words in the same way that you were.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Kelly and I are quite a lot in agreement, because the sentiment is right. And like I say, I wrote, it was not from a place of malice. Apple is doing a lot of great stuff.
Right.
And it was that word.
If your question is why would Lisa Jackson allow this to be attributed to her, the answer is probably because she and the rest of the Apple team didn't see it the way you were interpreting it.
Right.
You are interpreting.
Yes, and that's an interesting question in itself.
Right.
Yeah, because like this went through you know, any number of people.
Right. For sure.
And she may or may not have written it herself. And it was probably approved ultimately by Tim.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, umpteen PR people.
Yeah, and I find, knowing as we do that it must have gone through quite an extensive process, I find it fascinating that not one person went, is this the right choice of words?
Mm.
I think that's interesting. And that's, for me, the little bit that maybe Apple should have a little look at and be like, What can we do a little bit better next time? How can we be a little bit more careful? Because the semantics in these issues do matter.
They do. And like Brian, whenever we talk about Apple and we talk about stock and things, and Brian always has to disclose that he is a little tiny itty-bitty shareholder in Apple stock, I feel like I have to disclose I volunteer with an organization that does exactly this, App Camp for Girls, that is working to help close the gender gap in technology with camps teaching high school girls iOS development. And so I'm always looking for these sorts of things. So I read that press release closer than most people, probably, because what are they doing? How are they doing it? Who are the organizations they're aligning with? What kind of stuff does App Camp need to learn in order to, you know, what can we take from this as well and to be part of this kind of stuff in the future? And so I think for me, that's part of why it picked up for me, is because I read it very closely, because I spend a lot more time with this than probably a good portion of people who read Apple press releases. And so I was sort of reading through it a second time to kind of pick up other sorts of things, like what kind of activities are they doing? What sort of stuff are they putting together to help grant this sort of opportunity to people? You know, like I said, what you do with an opportunity is up to you, whoever you are. So I feel like I need to make sure there's a little full disclosure there. Like, I was probably reading that a lot closer than a lot of people were.
Yeah.
So,
and I think because these are topics I always pick up on, and I've written about before for Mac Observer and elsewhere. And mm-hmm. I, you know, like you, read it pretty closely. And it kind of, as we both said, kind of stood out for us, which is interesting.
Yeah. And I think part of why it may not stand out for a lot of people is like, because the whole tone of the rest of it is like, yay, women, and here's all these opportunities and here's all this stuff that we could be doing. And so it was literally one word in one sentence of this whole thing that rung to me as funny. So that was,
yeah,
that was perfect.
And I think it stood out even more actually because everything else was, mm-hmm. So the type of thing we expect from Apple and is so positive.
Yeah. And honestly, the kind of thing I hope for, like a lot more than necessarily expect, but, you know, it's the kind of thing you want out of
Apple has been pretty good at this kind of stuff.
Yes, they have.
And it's not just about women, but, people of color, LGBT people, they, for all sorts of reasons, really do get that diversity is important in tech. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that's why that one word really stood out to me.
Yeah, that was part of where it became a little odd to me. So, yeah, there it is. So, Brian, are you still with us?
Yep.
I'm just making sure. Okay.
Have we broken Brian?
No, I don't think we have. He was just kicking back and letting us take care of it, which is which could end really well or really poorly, depending. Yes, Charlotte and I are partial to mayhem, for those who don't already know. All right, so yeah, I'm interested in that, and I'm interested to see if anything comes out of that, because obviously, Charlotte, you and I aren't the only people who have noted this. So I'm going to be curious to see if any of that, if anything happens with that, or if Apple PR reaches out to anybody and says anything further about that, or if they just let it stand. In the meantime, the stuff that they announced, like the Today at Apple events and different things that are going on around, are very cool. And I look forward to seeing your coverage of that event there in London.
Yeah, really looking forward to ahead.
Because it looks awesome.
One of the London stores. Yeah, they've got some really exciting stuff there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. With that, we're going to move on to our sponsor. And our sponsor today is Keeps. Now, Keeps is a treatment for hair loss. And losing hair sucks. 2 out of 3 guys are going to experience hair loss by the time they're 35. So Keeps is the easiest and most affordable way to keep the hair you have. They're FDA-approved products, but thanks to Keeps, they're now a lot less expensive and a lot easier to get. For 5 minutes and $10, starting at $10 a month, you never have to worry about hair loss again. You get signed up, you answer some questions, you snap some photos of your hair, and then a licensed physician will review your information and recommend the right treatment, and then it gets shipped straight to your door. So Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products available. And you may have tried them before, but you've probably never gotten them for this kind of pricing. So Keeps is between $10 and $35 a month. You can get your first month free. And the way that you do that is by going to keeps.com/TDO. That's KEEPS.com/TDO. And once you get there, you get a free month of treatment. So it keeps your hair today and your hair tomorrow. Now, our other topic today is another story about Hollywood and Apple. And Charlotte, this was also something that you wrote up, but I know Brian wants to talk to us about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. The New York Times, New York Post report that Apple execs are not rubbing up the people in the media the bit of the wrong way.
People in not the media, people in Hollywood.
It looked to me to be producers, agents, showrunners. Those are the kind of people it was talking about. Producers.
And it could well be a subset of those agents. Indeed. And showrunners. It could be, however. I doubt that. And so apparently they found 2 people who said that Tim Cook was giving feedback on shows and was very involved. And one of them said that Tim Cook was offering notes, which is a thing that executives do on direction or minor issues or major issues that they have with a show or a movie.
He certainly wouldn't be the first, and he certainly will not, if true, would not be the last. Like, let's just get that out there now.
Yes, this is true. And apparently his repeated note, Charlotte, is?
Oh, he said, it's a be nice to each other kind of thing.
Don't be so mean.
Don't be so mean. There we go.
Yeah. And this was one of the things I was worried about. And I really, really thought that Apple had figured this out by hiring Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Amberg. Mm-hmm. The 2 former Sony executives who have been leading Apple's original content efforts for the last, year and a half, 2 years now. Year and a half, right? It's about a year and a half.
We've been hearing about them a little while, yeah.
Yeah, man, Apple execs, get your nose out of this. You don't know Hollywood. You don't know storytelling, man. The creative pros do their thing.
I'm standing here giving you a standing ovation, Brian.
You know, the thing that struck me about this is that my reaction to this is sort of my reaction. It's always the same reaction that I have, except it's usually not on the Apple side, which is we did this once already with music. Why can't you figure it out with movies? Like, I don't remember anybody ever telling stories about Steve Jobs hanging out in studios and going, no, Jay-Z, you should not put that drum beat on that particular track, right? Like,
it gave them the platform. It didn't dictate the content.
Exactly.
But there's a difference, though. There is a difference. The difference is that Apple's footing the bill.
Right. Yeah.
And Apple was never footing the bill for any of the music production. And
that's
if Apple
true.
Had been footing the bill for some of the music production, guarantee you someone would have been saying, don't cuss so much. and that's the,
that's like, probably that, true. Like,
that's okay, part yeah. of what, that's part of what bugs me is this, like, this tone deafness to the fact that, we, the, you know, the potential consumers want edgy content. It's edgy content that has put Netflix and Amazon on the map.
Absolutely right.
As content producers. And yeah. And, yeah. So that bugs me. And I mean, like, can you imagine if, oh gosh, who's the Battlestar Galactica guy? I keep wanting to say Roger Moore. Obviously it's not Roger Moore.
Ron Moore.
Ron Moore. Thank you. Can you imagine like Ron Moore and Jennifer Aniston giving Tim Cook notes on iPhone production? I mean, like let the people who know what they're doing do their thing. That's
it's
why you hired them.
Right.
It's interesting you mentioned Jennifer Aniston because apparently Tim Cook turned up on a set of a drama she's involved in and mm-hmm. also a show called C that Apple is paying for and producing. Look, what struck me about this was how predictable it was.
Well, it's one thing for like for a studio exec, like which is who Apple is in this case. It's one thing for a studio exec to come to the set and like schmooze and be like, "Hey, everybody, I'm here, letting you know I'm here," because that's the thing that happens, and that's not uncommon.
Sure.
But yeah, to then be like, you know, gosh, that's a lot of bad words or whatever. Like, yeah.
And then there's, I know you were trying to say something, Charlotte, but apparently I'm gonna talk to. Here, this, you wrote this, and this includes some quotes. Meanwhile, a producer complained that, quote, there's a lack of clarity on what Apple wants. They said that the company is, quote, making big changes, firing and hiring new writers, end quote, and that, quote, a lot of the product is not as good as they hoped it to be. So, like, hello, maybe, like, let the pros do what they need to do.
Right.
And no, I totally agree.
This is going to end up being one of those things where, like, we're going to get something, and it's going to not be Stranger Things or Walking Dead or Mad Men or some sort of, you know, super...
Mr. Robot, Orange is the New Black.
Right, it's not going to end up being,
Fowler.
Like... outstanding television, right? And then it's going to be, oh, this is because Apple is terrible at streaming, right?
It's going to be Planet of the Apps and first season of Carpool Karaoke.
Oh, and it's going to be that, and then people are going to go, well, obviously Apple hasn't figured out streaming, and the reality is going to be Apple totally figured out streaming. They just couldn't keep their hands off it, off the content. And I understand wanting to be marginally involved, but like, there's a reason that you hired the people you hired and pay them what you pay them. That's a whole lot of zeros.
And it's so predictable. We know Apple, there's control freakery in Apple. We know this.
Yeah.
It's a kind of an outlook that I think Steve Jobs kind of embedded into the company from its beginning. They are absolutely control freaks about everything on their devices and their software. Mm-hmm. We know this. And so it was almost predictable that they could not stop themselves meddling in original content, even though it's not something they know about. Be obsessive and control freaks about how the service works. Let the experts make the content.
Yep. That's it.
Yep.
That's all it is. Yeah. Like I said, it's one thing for people to say, like, Tim Cook showed up on the set today, and it's another for them to be like, Tim Cook showed up on the set today with a notebook and a bunch of ideas. And the difference between those
We don't know that that's what he did.
Right. But the difference between those is subtle, but it's vast. Right. So that's the problem that I think we're going to end up against is, yes, I understand that they're financing it, but I also understand that there's a reason that you get Ron Moore to do it, or Jennifer Aniston, or Reese Witherspoon, or whoever we're talking about at the moment, you know, because the people that they hired to do some of this stuff, like particularly the people who are not actors, are people whose names we recognize because they are big enough deals that we know who they are without them being the people who star in the shows. And so when you're going to get that level of person to show up and and start working for you instead of whoever it was that they were working for before, then like there's a reason that you went after them the way that you did, and there's a reason that you pay them what you do.
Yeah, and another issue here is, you know, Tim's note about not being so mean. Now, there is certainly a sort of lowest common denominator, easy insulting joke aspect that like for, you know, like a really bad sitcom.
Yes, there are shows that do that. Yes.
I get not wanting that sort of meanness, mm-hmm. but when it comes to a character being mean,
right?
I mean, like the whole point of fiction is friction.
Yes.
And having people overcome friction and resolve friction and deal with friction. Like if all these shows are just like everybody being super nice to each other, it's gonna be terrible.
Right.
It's gonna be absolutely terrible because it turns
out, by the way,
it's
also not interesting
that not everybody is actually nice, and sometimes people are bad.
What?
Yeah, and over. Well,
I'm with you 100%. Right. There's no Batman without the Joker.
It's true.
You know. Yeah. There's no. You know. There's no. All of them are that way. You know, like if you think, you know, if you think about it, like it, you know, good, there's all like, there's no good guy unless there's a bad guy, because otherwise what's the good guy doing? Right. Like, so, you know, even in that case, like it's different. It's one thing for a show to be mean. Like you were talking about, like, you know, a lowest common denominator sitcom style of thing. And I think we've all seen at least one of those in our lives. And when you started watching television, it probably makes your point of reference different than anyone else's. But having a person on a show, well, it's true. Like, you know, whoever.
Follow Tim's note. Be less mean.
Well, no, I'm not trying to be mean about anything. Like, my point of reference is going to be a different show than yours, Charlotte, for like, I watched this show and it's just like everybody terrible to each other for half an hour. Like, the first time I saw that was probably a lot earlier in the world than the first time you saw that. That's all. Because people are different ages. There's another thing. Not everyone's nice and not everyone's the same age. So the other thing about it that, you know, it's one thing to have a bad person, and it's another to have a mean person, and it's another thing to have a mean show. And like, I understand that there's a difference between the two, and that's, you know, like, yeah, we can. That's a whole nother podcast. We'll have to do that on another time, where we start critiquing media and talk about good examples and bad examples of all of those things. And sometimes when those examples change, it's kind of a bummer. So that's part of what worries me about this is, you know, I think, Brian, we talked about it on TDO ages ago, I think.
Yeah. And I said, oh, don't worry about it. No, Apple gets it now. I was wrong.
No, I think you said, like, Apple's going to show up with notes. And I think I was like, why would they do that? That would be ridiculous. There's no reason. Yeah, that was me. Because I remember that we've discussed it, and I think that was probably how it went. Is you went, you know, you gave them credit. Of course, they're not going to do anything like that. That would be. You know, I think you said they would, that, you know, why would they do that? Because they're Apple, and so of course they're going to. And I think I was like, I recall
being on the other side of that argument.
Oh, really?
But I'll take your I'll take your credit. And I'm pretty sure I was the wrong one.
Because I'm just going to go ahead and give you credit for it, because you were probably right about it. So it's concerning only because, like, now that these stories are coming out, like, we still haven't seen anything yet. So we don't have anything, any yardstick to measure against. Like, oh, well, here's one where nobody said anything about anyone from Apple showing up and it was really good. And the one where everybody showed up is kind of eh. So we don't have anything like that where we can compare and contrast yet. So it will be interesting. And as always, as soon as we have more to talk about, you will hear about it here. And with that, I want to thank both of you for being here today. Thanks for coming by, Brian.
Radio. speaking of age.
Thanks for being here with me today, Charlotte.
Yes, I was here. It was a joy.
I appreciate your time. And I will talk to all of
you. I always enjoy being on.
I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.